How about it? It's been a minute, big fella.
How you been?
You know, pretty good. Schwenk asked if while I was away, did I miss it? Was I restless? And I said, and I'll quote myself, I don't ever need to do this again. That's kind of, honestly, though, that's not true. Because I was lobbying to come back to work on a Sunday. Sunday of week 7. I was ready to come back, get after it, chop it up. Sure.
All right.
But then it's like, that's, I'm good. It's like a one-off. That's, my next deal needs to be a lot of one-offs. I'll just come in from time to time, and then I'll go away again. But to the people out there, they're like, where are you? Thanks for caring. We're back. And both of us, this is how you know there's a lot going on. Both Stanford Steve and I have notes to try to navigate this pod.
Yeah.
Is that going to help?
I don't know.
I don't either. I'm not optimistic. Let's start with the National Football League because we played enough now where I think there's some storylines that are surprising that have emerged. Arizona's unbeaten, and Cincinnati just came to Baltimore and gave it to the Ravens. I want to start with Arizona because they have this massive game Thursday night with Green Bay. And I feel that Arizona is still dealing with a lot of yeah, but. And I don't know what it's about. I don't know if it's people are still dismissive of Kingsbury for some reason. I don't know if it's Kyler Murray, the way things kind of at the end of last year. I don't know what it is. Well, it's like, yeah, but they played Arizona. They played Houston. Okay, cool. Did you miss when they went to Los Angeles and gave the Rams a dose? Did you miss when they went to Cleveland and housed the Browns? Maybe I'm wrong, Steve. Maybe
I don't think so. You're never wrong.
Well, I'm wrong plenty, but I don't get a sense that there's a ton of national buy-in when it comes to Arizona, that people are ready to say that's the team in the NFC, even though they played the team in the NFC that had just beaten the crap out of the Buccaneers the week before and went into LA and housed them. I do think Thursday, though, massive stage to yourself. There's no World Series game that night. Not that there's not NBA and NHL, but that's a chance for America to get their eyes on the Cardinals. And I'm interested to see what we see in that spot.
Well, it's weird. There's a couple things here. I think there's a lot of they still want to see more, and that's the naysayers want to see them in the playoffs, right? So the naysayers are just going to like deny, and wait, which is really hard to do these days in social media when you're a naysayer. It's kind of like the people in Michigan, right? I mean, Michigan, they don't want to give any credit to Michigan. Well, they're 7-0. I think they've done okay. You know, obviously there's still a lot to be said. But I think there's people that want to see. I'm a guy that I want to see Kyler Murray do it for a whole year. I think the world of the kid is a talent. I've stood on the same sidelines as him at the Orange Bowl and watched him get kicked out of him by Alabama. And he got up every single snap and kept coming. And that's when I was like, I'll take this guy. I will take this kid because
he battled.
Stop, man.
There you go.
He doesn't say a lot, but he's as tough as they come. And when you look at what they have, and that's my other problem, Scott, and you touched on it. Now everybody gets to see him, right? It feels like there's still this 4 o'clock, you know, out west, you know, here on the East Coast, Arizona, they're winning again. All right, I'll turn that. But now you got all the eyeballs, and this is where I root for those teams in that circumstance to play well when you have all the eyeballs. I've watched them all. I've watched them every week. They've been awesome. It's a great
year. Have. It does have the feel, though, of a buy-in game. Now with Devontae Adams testing positive for COVID, there's not nearly enough of a window, I don't believe, with the way protocols work for him to be available. And that would give people that want to not buy, if they were to win, an excuse. They didn't have. Well, again, I don't know if you missed the Rams game. Did that escape your attention? I don't know, but I feel. And then in the NFC, Rams haven't lost outside of getting the crap kicked out of them by Arizona. Tampa Bay hasn't lost outside of getting beat pretty solidly by the Rams. Mm-hmm. And Dallas has the one loss opening night against Tampa Bay. It's sort of this round robin out there. Those are the teams. as we've played 7 weeks, Cowboys just coming off a bye that have separated Green Bay, played a really weird game against Washington Sunday. And I'll admittedly say that I'm looking through that through the lens of the number where Washington, there's no way they don't cover that game. I mean, they lived inside the red zone and didn't score touchdowns. But I get it. Green Bay, Rodgers said he woke up with his back feeling like crap. That's a game that they won by 14. It just didn't feel like they looked great in it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know who else I'm missing NFC wise that has a clear case to say they feel like a threat. But those are the four at this stage.
Yeah, and I go back. I've said since after the Tampa game, I'm totally rooting for Dak. I think what he's done has been really, really impressive. I think they've done a great job with the roster. You obviously see the effect Dan Quinn's had on that defense. They absolutely broke my heart in covering that New England game.
That was disgusting.
That we can maybe talk about later, because if you want to see a room of gentlemen that had the Patriots that I was in that was ready to explode and then see CeeDee Lamb in the end zone and take all the air off one of the best days I've ever had, I could talk about that later.
No, not later. Now, this was in Vegas, and like the corniest line ever said is that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, it doesn't. The best stories from Vegas are meant to be shared on podcasts among friends. I'm not asking for a specific accounting because it's none of our business. Uh-huh. But let's just say that you were with a group of people that aren't afraid.
Yes.
At all.
Correct.
And some are quite well funded. So.
Correct.
Just give us a rough idea of.
All right.
Of after of when Dallas kicks a field goal to tie it to go to overtime, where you're still all right if it's just a field goal. What kind of day are we talking about? Had they gotten to the window?
All timer, just whatever. Like, I mean, can I just tell you how it started?
Please do.
That's Sunday, right? Uh-huh. So we're staying at a friend's house. He lives on the fifth hole of the Summit. We wake up a little bit later than normal. Not, you know, it's an NFL Sunday. We wake up and let's just say there's a friend that's name is Tom. And Tom walks out and says, wow, this is going to be a great day, recovery day. Nice. Just relax, sit on the couch in the NFL. And as Tom is walking to the living room, there's a caterer wheeling in a bar. And the bar is in the living room. So there's going to be no recovery day for Tom. So then we walk out into the pool area, and there's the fifth hole. And who's teeing off? The big rig, Harry Higgs, and Colin Morikawa.
Big rig!
The big rig is throwing up high fives to us, you know, giving the choo-choo of a truck. Big We're rig. Yelling back at the rig. He's in it, and Morikawa is like, I know who that is, and I'm not even paying attention to him. And Colin's in it. Like, he's in second. Briggs in top 10. He doesn't care.
So that's going to cover his bar tab for the week.
That's how the day starts. and to see, fast forward to that Cowboys-Patriots game, like, everybody, we're like, this is the right side. It's 3.5. They're at home. Dallas has been incredible. Look at all the money.
It's all on Dallas.
And then New England gets that 2-point conversion. And that's where I knew it.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't go up 3 there, knowing what Dallas is going to do.
Nope.
And, oh, man.
All-timer.
All-timer.
Now, having said that, all was not lost as a result of that.
Correct.
Just would have been an all-timer.
No, it would have put us over the mountain, let's just say. You know, we were at the top.
Nope. That would have taken you over the summit.
Yeah.
Yes. Shout to the big rig. Shout to the crew that was out there in Vegas.
Varsity.
Shout to the varsity with a big win every weekend. That's the New York Football Giants, for those that are unaware. Let's pivot. AFC. And I'm starting with who day? Starting with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Look, Cincinnati and Tennessee are both 5-2. Cincinnati lost to the Bears. Tennessee lost to the Jets. Tennessee just beat Buffalo and Kansas City back to back. We will talk about the Chiefs. But Cincinnati comes into Baltimore, and Baltimore is cooking with gas. They just housed the Chargers on the same field the week before. And the Bengals come in and do what they want, man. They had Baltimore. Baltimore's aggressive as hell. Baltimore started going for it on fourth down like midway through the third, it felt like.
Yeah, they had to there.
They had to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Ja'Marr Chase has the most receiving yards through seven games in the history of the National Football League. He and Burrow are doing their thing. But this defense continues to play at a high level, surprisingly so.
Mm-hmm.
You know some of that Cincinnati staff, and yep. you can give me a sense of, and you told me in the summer that they liked what they had.
Yeah.
But if we're being honest with ourselves and our listeners, uh-huh. How many coaches you talk to in August that go, yeah, we suck. We suck out loud, man. No shot. We're going to get crushed. We're all going to get fired. We suck. Optimism is easy to sell in the summer,
yep.
But they liked him then. What does Cincinnati think they got, man?
I look at you mentioned how they've constructed their team. And I thought it was really interesting talking to guys with their organization, in the preseason, and look at how they are constructed. They went all offense in the draft, and they spent their money in free agency on defense.
And I love it. You want to know why? Because you need adults on defense. You need grown ass men that are heavy assed men. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about youngsters. I'm not talking about guys that are going to be able to play on that side of the ball in 5 years. I'm talking about guys that can do it today. You can find offensive players out of the draft right now that can contribute, but mm-hmm. you want guys that can play defense in this league. You need adults,
and that's what they did. Yep. And you know, it was really tough because they're optimistic, and then obviously Burrow doesn't play a snap in the preseason, and then you have Chase there who says what he has. Shout out to all the people that had fun with those jokes in the preseason. I hope you're feeling good about all your tweets back then in the preseason, because he's lighting your asses up right now.
Man.
So it was what do they say? Cautious optimism.
Yeah.
But you got to look at the staff. It's got a lot of guys have been everywhere. A lot of guys have not had success, but to see that, I mean, they know, you know, when you look at the contracts on the team, this is the year where you got to go or else you're going to, you know, start hearing all the whispers. And they know that. And then you, on top of it though, you look at the division. I still think it's one of it's the toughest, because week in and week out, when you get those two teams, those four teams, they're going to bring something to the table. And they've gone to Pittsburgh and won. They've gone to Baltimore now. I think Baltimore beat them five straight. They don't really like each other. It feels like a lot of teams feel like that about the Ravens, just the way they rub you. But that's good. That's what makes it great. But I want to say, like, they thought, they didn't have a loss to the Bears in there, but they're right around where they thought their peak optimism would be. And it's just great to see, because I'm a guy. I want to see some fresh blood. I want to see some new faces, new names. And they're at the peak right now because they're playing great.
They got the Jets. Then they got Cleveland at home. And then they hit their bye. And, I mean, I hesitate to prognosticate about, you know, look, they've lost to the Bears, as we said. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they got 2 3-point losses thus far. No, even if they were to lose these two games, they go into the bye above 500. And that's an organization and a fan base that I felt listless. It felt directionless. It had zero buzz. And now, especially off who they beat and how they beat them.
Yes.
There's a lot to say about them. Say the same thing about Tennessee. You and I know Vrabel well. Mm-hmm. I have to just admit that I probably have a blind spot. Other people crush him. I just like him too much.
Yep.
I think he coaches the way he played. I think that's why he engenders a certain level of buy-in and respect in a locker room, because they know he knows it. They know he's lived it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they lost to the Jets, and they looked like garbage early. You get back-to-back home wins against Buffalo and Kansas City, and you're 5-2, and you're in a division where the Colts are better than their record, I think. Wentz has played much better. They get a win in a monsoon in San Francisco on Sunday night. But Tennessee finds itself pretty well positioned now, especially off who they beat and how they beat them. Just trading messages with Vrabel, and his thing now is keep the pedal down. You know, now momentum's hard to get in sports, whether people believe it exists or not. But confidence isn't. Confidence is a real thing, and they're working with some off of a couple of wins. And Kansas City finds itself it's a legitimately interesting conversation to have about them, kind of what they are. Mm-hmm. Mahomes made it to the Super Bowl, won it, made it back the next year. Is he the best of all times? The conversation. How many Super Bowls is he going to win was the question. And now the question I saw today is, are they going to make the playoffs? There's one, and I don't know who the site is, but some gambling site has them as under 50% to make the playoffs. They're 3-4. I thought that seemed crazy. Steve, I looked at their schedule. After they play Monday Night Football against the Giants next week, they got Green Bay, a trip to the Raiders, Dallas. They still got a road game against Cincinnati a little bit later. Like, it's not nuts to think, especially if their defense plays like this, they can't stop anybody.
No. And that's the problem, is you could say all you want about the offense. Not one team is fearful of their defense.
No.
And, you know, you go in, I mean, it's, what was it, 27.5 yesterday?
And it was every bit of that. I'm watching it.
And then with that run game, like, forget it. Game's over.
Yeah. And then, you know what? And you, I always say the same thing, like, but you played, so you'd know better than me. But I'd have to think that there'd be very little that would suck worse than getting beat into the ground and then having to get a dose of 22 for a half.
No doubt. No doubt.
Good. We got 30 more minutes of 22 running. What did Marshawn? Over and over. Run through a face. I mean, what's up, Marshawn? That's such a great line, but I have to think that wouldn't be a whole lot of fun. But I mean, it seems insane pre-Halloween to legitimately be saying about Kansas City, I don't think they're making the playoffs, but the way they look right now, I wouldn't bet that they would, you know,
Just say they're not going to make it.
if you tell me what the path is, you sell me a path, because I'm not buying one right now. You got anybody else in the National Football League you want to mention?
Yeah. Shout out to Cleveland Thursday night for getting a win that they'll never, ever seem to ever get with all those guys out. And just like, that was awesome.
Denver on the first drive defense was the worst prepared defensive unit I've ever seen in a National Football League game. Cleveland came out. They ran two play action passes. They pitched it to 30. Darnus Jackson, I hope he makes it. What a great story that dude is, because he balled the hell out. They ran five plays and scored a touchdown, and it looked like Ohio State against a MAC team. And Denver's got too many guys on defense to look like that. Now, somehow they held them to 17 for the game, but I can't remember watching an opening drive where the team looked less prepared to play. It was nuts.
It's kind of like you, Scott, when you're playing your college football game. You script your first 15, you feel good about it, and you go right down the field, and you go up 7-0. That's how you do it.
Me?
Yeah. You script the first 15, don't you?
I just run the same play action, roll right and throw deep every time. Let's pivot to college. I have bad news for Cincinnati fans.
Uh-oh.
I've been looking at this, Steve. They're ranked second in the country, right? Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. Ohio State they look like a wagon, right? They're not going to lose.
They already did.
Again. They won't.
Okay.
Michigan State play this week. Penn State looked like they were a problem. Nine overtimes. By the way, go for two. What are we doing? What is this, a circus?
Just play out. You hate every college overtime. What do you want? What do you want?
Play football. Play football. Kick off, and if you score, you win. Not 25-yard field.
So you want the NFL?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Play football. Not like there's a place in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware called Funland. They got this thing where you bash a mallet, and if a frog goes into a cup, you get a stuffed animal. Just do that. Hey, bring out the frog game. Bring out the big ass mallets and smash it. And if you get the frog in the cup, you win the game. What is this 2-point? No one in America knew that that was the rule.
And nobody. Then everyone's like,
wait, this is 9 overtimes? It's not 9 overtimes. It's a carnival game.
I don't mind it for the regular season. You don't have to change ends of the field every freaking time, though. Holy hell.
It's not football. Just some sort of football. Anyway, here's the problem with Cincinnati. You can see it as plain as day. Ohio State, they went out, right? Bama wins out, which means Georgia and Bama are sitting there going, huh, what are we doing? So they end up with 2. Ohio State ends up with 1. There's 1 spot. And Cincinnati's going to end up being the team, like Oklahoma. People are mad that they dropped in the polls. You can't trail Kansas. They're 8-0. Like, all you got to do, winning is all you got to do. I get it. But you can't trail Kansas. There's got to be some sort of weekly, even if it's a 1 week, like it's being in timeout for a week. But I just fear, the path for Cincinnati, and I fear what's going to happen to them, because that I fear that that Notre Dame win will be long forgotten by the time we get to the end, and it'll turn into what it always turns into. It'll turn into the brand name teams elbowing out Cincinnati.
That's the problem. We don't drop these teams far enough when they lose. And I look at Alabama and they ain't last year's Alabama. I'll tell you that. You know, I mean, you talk about losing the trail in Canton. They're down to Tennessee. All right. I know Tennessee's doing a great job of hype on there and improving things. Okay. But they are getting held in this regard, man. That's getting just astronomical to me. They're not invincible.
You're right. That's a reasonable critique of them. There's a benefit of the doubt that they earned. Look, Clemson held on to a benefit of the doubt. You made the point, yep. And you were dead on. Like, why are they ranked? Well, they're not anymore.
No.
Because they're a very pedestrian football team this year. Mm-hmm. And so Dabo and Clemson had a certain amount of residual respect that carried them first to a certain point. But the point you make, the larger point is the problem. Look, Coastal Carolina was ranked like 14th. All mm-hmm. respect. It's a nice story from last year. I'm not anti them. They got beat mm-hmm. by App State. App State got their butt kicked the week before by Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So like the Coastal Carolina wasn't a top 15 team. And Cincinnati is benefiting this year from having as high a ranking as they had from because of what they were last year. So they benefit a little bit too, but there's no wiggle room for them. I mean, and Navy scored a touchdown and got the onside kick. I mean, it got a little spooky there for about 20 seconds in Annapolis, mm-hmm. But they're not punished for winning, nor should they be. Although Navy's not great this year. I'm looking at the way Ohio State has played lately, and they look like the what they were reported to have been when the season started, this incredibly explosive, loaded offense.
Okay.
And I just have this fear for Cincinnati of if Bama wins out. Now, look, Bama would have to beat Georgia. And maybe one of these years, Georgia can build a lead, Bama, they can hang on to it, you know, perhaps. I'm sorry. I'm not picking on you, Georgia. I mean, my God, you had 2 games in a row against them where you trailed for like 25 seconds combined and lost both games. But I just would worry about them getting squeezed out, because I think you can see the path on the Big Ten East side where Michigan State, Ohio State, and then Penn State's in the mix, but not really. Mm-hmm. They're sort of a round robin. And if Ohio State comes out of that, they're going to end up in the playoff. Oklahoma will have no wiggle room. They'll have to win out. But if that's the path, like, you tell me.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
What about Oregon?
For sure. They're in the mix too, because if they went out and then it's them and Ohio State, then it has to be Oregon.
Please, because it's not going to be. I'm telling you right now. And
but it has to be.
It's a joke.
It has to be. They played.
I know.
And Oregon,
all you hear about is, oh, but Ohio State's a lot better now.
They're better. That's great. You weren't when you played.
I know.
You don't get to tell me you're better now than you were when you played.
Thank you.
On your field and lost.
Thank you.
That doesn't matter. You lost.
We're on the same page.
Okay, but
please win out, Oregon. Please.
I started thinking about this. For Cincinnati. No, I'm just saying. I started thinking about it. I started thinking, you know what? They're going to get screwed. And I mean, I have no tie to anything as it relates to Cincinnati. Other than I think that if you win all your games and you're second and you play Notre Dame and beat them, like that's all you can do. Maybe it won't matter. I just think that sitting preemptively looking down the road, I see a log jam and they're not getting called. They won't. That's not how it'll work.
Yeah, to me it's about Oregon and Ohio State to me because I've had it with this stuff, that's what I'm looking at. Cincinnati, I see what you're saying, and that's a whole nother deal because you got to try and block out what everybody else is doing, and you got to worry about yourself and take care of business, and you got to be better than you were against Navy.
I had Navy and winners. No big deal.
4-2 again?
No. I went 3-3. I had 2 4-2 weeks in a row. Almost got the Georgia Tech cover against Virginia, which someone out there that's listening right now, please tell me on Saturday night you were watching because I had Georgia Tech plus the 7. And oh my God, it was the most fun you could possibly have because they were down by 20 or something. I don't even know. But they got the ball back on an onside kick, scored to get within 7. Went for 2 because analytics, the play is wide open. They didn't get it. It would have been the worst beat in history. And I'm just laughing. And then they got another onside kick and the game ends with Georgia Tech chucking it to the end zone. None of this matters. It was nearly a win. It was a lot of fun. What's the quarterback's name? The lefty from Virginia, Brennan. That guy's awesome. Brennan Armstrong.
Yeah.
That guy's really awesome. He's got a billion yards passing.
Their offense is incredible.
Their offense is fun. They got a lot of dudes with numbers that don't make any sense. That dude, 99-0. 99, who was part of the all-time bad beat against Abilene Christian. They're fun to watch. It would have been more fun if Georgia Tech got the 2 and lost by 6. That's neither here nor there.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step towards a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code SVP. That's code SVP. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Before we move on, two things I want to mention. Steve, as you probably know, pulls double duty in the podcasting world. You should be listening to Steve and our good friend Chris Felica on Stand for Steve and the Bear. New episodes every Wednesday throughout the college football season. You can follow Stand for Steve and the Bear wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. And watch NBA Today on ESPN Monday through Friday, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. Malika Andrews at the helm, joined by ESPN's full cast of NBA experts, insiders, reporters, and more. The NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN, the ESPN app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. 0-10, Steve. World Series excitement. 0-10.
9.
Do you think you're on an island with that?
No doubt. No, I had a friend in Connecticut ask me if the World Series was still 7 games.
What?
I don't know. They change all the rules.
Wait.
I don't know what a series is.
Well, that's a fair point. He was
more making fun of it, you know?
I guess, it's a weird one because you said this in our show meeting on Monday. It's Houston versus the world because everyone hates Houston because they cheated. And this is where Astro fans get mad and say they didn't cheat. No, no. See, they cheated. And that's why Cora didn't manage for a year and neither did Hinch. Okay. That's how we know they cheated. So stop it. All right. Stop it. No one's attacking you or your mother. They were saying your team cheated because they cheated. All right. Moving on. Now, Dusty, I'm sure I'm all in on the Dusty bit. The Houston's lineup is horrifying. Like, find the out in the lineup.
Yeah.
The Atlanta story, which I know you can't get behind because you're a Met fan and you have to hate him, but their hope for every team that's up languishing around 500 in August, that maybe you too can get hot. Maybe no you doubt. Can lose a player as good as Acuña is and somehow go 42-21 from there and make it to the World Series. This is maybe a baseball conversation about what's interesting to people, what captures our attention. But I do think you're on an island because I think I look at my friends who are all sports fans, and not one person has said one thing to me about the World Series, not one. And again, I think that's a larger sort of societal conversation of how interested are people in baseball. But I do think that the series itself is awfully intriguing. This is inside the Beltway TV talk. I think you get Boston and LA, then it's like, ooh, the ratings. I don't know who cares about the ratings other than the few people on Twitter. Like, what does that matter to, like, yeah, somebody that's listening to our podcast? You don't give a shit about ratings. What does that have to do with you? If you like the games, watch the games. It doesn't matter to you. What does it matter to you what Fox gets for their rating? So it's like Marchand and Deitch can tweet it out, and Orand, like, what does that matter to anybody? Doesn't matter. Do you like the games? Watch the games. If you don't, then watch something else. Yeah. Read a book. Read a book. Sit down. Have a sandwich. Do some thing. I don't care.
Have a sandwich.
That's from Midnight Run. What was Dennis Farina's name in that movie? I gotta look that up. What else you got?
I just wanted to get your thoughts on Oregon and Ohio State because it's starting to get to that point where it just.
Jimmy Serrano, Midnight Run. Is this more on number one? Put more on number two on the phone. If you don't get more personally involved in your work, I'm going to jab you in the heart with a pencil. What a great movie. All right. What Oregon, Ohio State, my Oregon. I already told you.
Okay.
They beat him. Like, what?
I know.
What argument is there for anything? And they didn't just beat him. It wasn't like they beat him in Arlington. They didn't beat him in the Atlanta. They beat them in Columbus.
Yeah, but you're going to hear, Ohio State beat Penn State, and they beat Michigan, and they beat State.
Exactly. Oregon, scoreboard. The end. You hate anything?
I do. I got to pick one.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, I got to get the list out.
Go with them. You know, I'm in a good mood. All right.
Here's just a question. I have a Halloween question for you. Right. What's the proper, let's say we have, let's say you have five guys. What's the proper amount of time for a dinner?
Are we drinking?
Yeah.
But like wine or a cocktail?
Yeah. Wine.
I think you got to carve out a solid 2 hours.
Okay. All right.
I think 2 hours is good. Now, if you order more wine and now people are just drunk and they're loud and it's going on 2.5, 3. Mm-hmm. Diminishing returns have set in.
Okay.
It ought to be like a window for a college basketball game. 7 o'clock tip, 9 o'clock. Is the game over at 9? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it bleeds into 9:10, 9:15. If it gets past that, too much.
All right. Good.
You agree? Because,
yes, I do. Look, these ideas of, I went down south this summer to Savannah. We went awesome dinners. But we're literally there like 3 hours. And I'm like, what? what could be taking so long? And it was more about the restaurants. And then out in Vegas, we went out to a dinner that was, I think it was over 15 people there. In and out, 2 hours. Bang. Get it going.
Bang. That's surprising because that's a crew that can order and it can get lit. But you probably had someplace else to go.
Upstairs to the tables.
All-time weekend?
All-timer.
Love
All-timer.
It.
All-timer.
We'll let people out there, we'll let their imagination run wild about what you think the old-timer is for Steve.
Got to show the boys the stadium swim too at Circa. Great day there. Thanks to those guys there to help set that up. Yeah. All right, Halloween. You ready?
Yeah, I am. And this is something that I just realized that I need. This is sort of like I feel like I'm in a confessional room.
Okay.
We've covered. People know the dad life space we were in during the summer when we became the top dad pod in the podcast.
Number one
game.
Number one.
It's on all the charts. You can check. So I did something on Monday that I realized I have not done with my children one time. I carved a pumpkin today.
Did you?
I did. And I'm really proud of it. It's a great job. We went with the triangular eyes, little triangle nose.
Okay.
And I asked the boys, we went a mad or happy. My kids only want angry.
Yeah.
Rage filled pumpkins. So it has a mad mouth, but I feel like maybe have I failed as a pop that my boy Sam, like my mom took him on like had a little sleepover and he was like, here, we'll carve the pumpkin. And he's like, what are you talking about? He didn't even know what carve a pumpkin meant. I mean, he's only five, but like we've never carved a pumpkin. What we have done, we lead the world in pumpkins. Like there are 50 on our steps every year. At some point, it's like maybe five will do. Nope. Mm. We need double digits thick. But we paint them and they decorate them, but we never carved one. And so everyone should know how foul and disgusting the inside of a pumpkin feels. Like the slimy, twiny seeds, and you can't get the crap out of there. It's just like, it's so foul. But I just felt like a failure as a parent that this is the first time that happened. But maybe today we're on the road to being a decent parent because we cut one up. But
Did you have fun?
I enjoyed it.
There you go. That's all that matters.
We got our costumes. Sam's an astronaut, wore the costume all Sunday when the family was over.
Helmet too?
Hell yeah. that was bad because Charlie treated it like a bongo. There was a lot of fighting. We got an ice skater and then little Charlie, like he was the Flash last year and he's the lowest maintenance of our children. He will be the Flash this year.
There we go.
Repeat. You know what? You know why? Because he likes the Flash.
There you go.
And it's got a little face mask and he's got a little muscle man outfit. He wore that all day Sunday as well. So if we can just get to the weekend with our costumes not destroyed, then and we're going to be good. Do you all have your costumes?
We do have our costumes. I do have obviously you're out with the kids and you see everything. And, you know, we've all done our adult Halloween parties where, you know, people get a little crazy with the outfits. But I'm just going to tell you, I got a feeling that every dad this Halloween that dresses up is going to be Ted Lasso. And I'm just going to laugh right in their face. It's going to be the number one outfit and I'm just going to laugh.
If you have a little word of advice to the dads out there and Moco, if you travel in Steve's social circle, don't slap on a mustache.
I mean, it's going to be so predictable. I could just see it right now. Every dad is going to be Ted Lasso. I know it.
All right, I have a Ted Lasso. Spoiler. This is your cue. Actually, I'm not even giving anything away, really, but I have two words for Ted Lasso this year. Nate. Seriously.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You got the gall to say that after he did what he did for you? Come on. That was our Ted Lasso spoiler.
His hair was not that great either earlier in the season.
Nah, I don't know what that was about.
Like, kind of weird.
Like we didn't need it to speed up that fast.
Have you read anything? You're the best at knowing about movies and never watching them or shows.
Yep.
Half. There's nobody better at it than you. Mm-hmm. What have you read that sticks out? Because I watched it. Squid Game.
I don't understand what it is.
Oh, boy.
I don't understand what's going on. I don't. Is it real life or fake life?
Oh, there's death. It's nothing I've ever seen before. I want you to watch one episode. Just watch the first episode.
Death?
Oh, yeah.
Real death? People die?
Yeah.
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. No, come on. Mm-hmm. What is this? Like one of those, what was that movie that Jennifer Lawrence was in? And the people, there was like a
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
So it's Hunger Games? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Just watch an episode.
You know, one thing, as sure as you're sitting there, you know that I'm not watching a second of Squid Game, right? You know that. I'm not doing that.
All right. I got my thing I hate.
I thought you did it, but like, is it how long dinner should last?
Oh, just a real quick one. Because it just stuck out because there's weather again in this game tonight.
Okay. Rams. Steve hates dinners that last longer than 2 hours and also hates.
Guys, when it's raining, pouring rain in a football game, take the gloves off. No one took their gloves off last night. What the f***? They're not going to help you. Try it.
I thought Garoppolo put the glove on. They went right down the field, Steve.
Yeah. How do you do in the end?
Well, he slipped out of his hand because he had a glove on. All right, good talk.
Thank you.
All right, I feel like that's a pretty comprehensive thing. NBA's been off to a good start. Steve's watched more hockey than he's watched in his entire life in the first
ever.
Few weeks.
It's awesome. It really guys are been, killing it.
Has been fun. And now we got to go work. All right.
Yeah.
All right, let's tighten this up. Let's everybody have a great week.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, have fun. Don't go as Ted Lasso if you're gonna see Steve, because they'll laugh in your face. It'll make it so embarrassing for you. You don't want any of that. We'll see y'all next week.